engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. His fame spread to all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick with various diseases and racked with pain, those who were possessed, lunatics and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
We continue all this week in the Christmas season. And the readings keep unpacking for us the meaning of the birth of Christ, the meaning of his manifestation to the nations, because now we are in the period after Epiphany, after we celebrated yesterday this great manifestation of this light to the nations. So in other words, the coming of this child is not meant to be just a nice welcoming of the baby in the manger with the angels and the shepherds, but rather the beginning of a whole public ministry that we see begin in today's gospel, be the beginning of a whole body of teaching that this child would express, which of course is very much the subject of the first reading, stay true to that teaching. Because this child, if we have welcomed him with joy in the manger, it's because we welcome his teachings. We welcome the baby in the manger because we welcome the Sermon on the Mount. We welcome the child born of Mary because we welcome all the parables. We sing glory to God in the highest, a Savior is born for us, because we know that Savior brings us the church, and he brings us the apostles that are sent forth to teach in his name, and he brings us the Holy Spirit who will teach us all truth. Abiding in the teaching, being faithful to the teaching, resisting false prophets, resisting those who teach other gospels, is all part of Christmas. Otherwise, what does it mean to be joyful that the child has come if we're not going to accept his message? We might as well walk away from the manger. If we're not going to take the whole Christmas gift that he offers us, all the teachings, to which John says in this first letter in many powerful ways, hold on to those teachings. Acknowledge Jesus come in the flesh. The Christmas mystery is at the core of all the teachings, all the mysteries. God become flesh is why baptism is possible. Because he offered his flesh on the cross, he rose from the dead, and we're baptized into that mystery. His coming in the flesh, this fundamental acknowledgement of the incarnation, is Christmas, and it is at the center of all the other things that we believe. You can't believe in the resurrection of the body unless the child has a body. You can't believe in the Eucharist, the body of Christ, unless God took a body at Christmas. So it all fits together in this way, and that's why we have readings like this during this particular week, and it will continue until the culmination of the Christmas season, which is this coming Sunday, the Feast of the Lord's Baptism. And you notice when Jesus begins his public preaching, what's the first word that he says? It's actually the same as the first word of John the Baptist in his public preaching, and the same first words of Peter head of the apostles in his public preaching at Pentecost. That word, repent. Turn away from your sins. Turn away from false teaching. Why? Because now a kingdom has broken into the world. That is the person of Jesus Christ who has come on Christmas. A kingdom has broken into the world now, and the whole world needs to get in line. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, as we sing in the Hallelujah chorus of Handel's Messiah. It all begins. The revelation is here now. We need to repent and we need to gather around and come into this kingdom. And the healing that is done of all those with pain and possessed and by demons and paralytics and all the rest is because this is the kingdom in which we are fully united with God, and therefore all sin must flee, and with it all its effects of sickness and death and pain and all the rest. Now, somebody who knew this and implemented it is the saint that we honor today, who is actually the first American-born saint to be canonized, Elizabeth Ann Seton. In fact, I remember her canonization, watching it, Pope Paul VI, now a saint himself. Pope Paul VI canonized her in 1975, and it was a great blessing for America. It's a great fruit of our country, our first native-born American saint. And she was raised Episcopalian, actually, and then she converted to Catholicism. But she is considered the patron saint of Catholic education because of and she also established the first women's religious congregation here in the United States. This is Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph. These are two very, very significant things about St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and her mission of teaching. Because, again, as we were just reflecting, you can't really celebrate Christmas without making a commitment to be faithful to the teachings of this child who came so that God could speak in human language. And she was committed to that. And this is what Catholic education is supposed to be all about. We can praise St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and praise Catholic education, sort of in the abstract. But when we get right down to the concrete details, Catholic education means we know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. And we didn't found these institutions, and St. Elizabeth Ann Seton didn't give of herself to establish these schools and this apostolate of teaching. And parents don't work and save and make all kinds of sacrifices to be able to send their children to Catholic schools if they're not going to learn the Catholic faith and moral code and pro-life teaching and teachings on sexual morality and teachings on prayer and devotion, if it's not going to be solidly rooted in the gospel, in the teachings, and make Jesus Christ a real presence to these students, then why are we going through the trouble? Why we owe an apology to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton if we don't keep these institutions faithful to that teaching and know the difference between the spirit of deceit and the spirit of truth. It says here, many false teachers have come into the world, and unfortunately, many of them have found their way into schools that are supposed to be Catholic, but these folks are bringing teachings that are anything but. Of course, when you have politicians and presidential candidates claiming to be Catholic and meanwhile throwing the teachings out the window, that doesn't help to creating the climate where, you can have the label, slap the label anywhere you want to slap it, and meanwhile slap down the teachings into the dust. No, this has got to change. And in honor of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, we renew our commitment to the reality of those teachings and being able to proclaim them without apology. She started the first women's religious congregation in this country, and that is also a fruit of Christmas, because consecrating yourself to God in body and in soul, renouncing the gift of marriage for the sake of the kingdom of God, living in poverty, chastity, and obedience as all religious do, well, that's a sign to the rest of us that we are all called, even though we are not called to live in the same way as in the religious life itself. We are all called to be poor in spirit. It's one of the Beatitudes. We are all called to be fully obedient to the will of God, and we are all called to the virtue of chastity, even within marriage. What that means is that we live out our human sexuality in accordance with our vocation. And so for married people, it's the fidelity to the one spouse for life. All of this is part of our Christmas gift. All of this, brothers and sisters, is part of the gift God gives to America. And once again, the Catholic schools and other Christian schools are such an important vehicle of being able to fulfill the welcoming of Christ who is born for us. And that's why I want to voice also, again, our appreciation for the measures that have been taken in this country by our president, Donald Trump, and his administration to help parents to send their children to Catholic schools if they so choose, or to Christian schools or other private schools. The president recently took executive action to make funding available for parents who want to do that. You want to send your children. Well, what good is it to have a Catholic school system if the parents who want to send their children there can't do so? It's like it doesn't exist. If they have such a financial hardship in doing so, the president is helping to make that more possible, to actually have financial capability to do what you believe is best for your children and your family. And thank God for that kind of policy. Unfortunately, the Democrats don't believe in that. They don't believe in giving equal opportunity in public funding for religious schools and Catholic schools as for failing public schools and government schools. They don't believe in that. Some people want to celebrate and thank St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and praise Catholic education to the heights, and they're afraid to say things like I just said. Well, then we're fooling ourselves. Then we're just going to go around in circles, and we're engaged in wishful thinking and pious platitudes, and we don't get anything done. We don't get it actually changed. That's why the political realities of these days are so important. You believe in Catholic education? Well, then voters in Georgia, pay attention. Because tomorrow they vote for both of their U.S. senators. Pay attention. The Democrat platform doesn't want there to be benefits for families that want to send their children to Catholic schools. You believe in Catholic schools? You believe in Christian schools? Put the Democrats in power and you're not going to be able to send your children there if you want. We have to be practical. We have to be aware of the implications of all of this, brothers and sisters. So let's continue to welcome the Christ who has come. Let's continue to be faithful to his teachings. Let's continue to reject the spirit of falsehood. Let's continue to rejoice in this light of the nations that has come, poured itself out on us and on every people and nation everywhere. And let us welcome and adore the child, that the growth of his kingdom may be accomplished for the salvation of the world. Let us continue to celebrate a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, for Christ indeed has been born for us. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.